The Secret Place.
He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 has been a source of comfort to the Lord's people throughout this nighttime of darkness and evil all around. It's been a source of uplift to them. And when we stop to think that God's peculiar people are a special delight to the Lord, a special delight. On the other hand, when we think of self, we tremble. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We feel terribly weak. And to think that our Heavenly Father is willing to sustain us and to bring us under His wings. Seeing that the theme of this convention is under His wings. And also, as was mentioned by the previous brother who brought out the thought that we are living at the end of the Day of Atonement. The end of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've often wondered, will the Lord sustain us in this evil day? Looking back in the Old Testament, how the Lord had protected and guided His people should be a comfort to us. If He did that to the servants, the house of servants, how much more will He do to the house of sons? You know, a servant is just one does service and is not familiar with the planning and the ideas or the activities of the home. But a son who's an heir, he knows what is going on and he's informed about it. And so, if the servants of old, a household of servants, were blessed and comforted, how much more will the house of sons? And so when we consider that scripture, it's been a great source of help to us. He that dwelleth in the secret place, what a secret place that is, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Going back again to the Old Testament, think of the protection that our Heavenly Father had given to Moses and the children of Israel. When they had come out of Egypt and had approached the Red Sea, there was a cloud above them. And this cloud, when they approached the sea, was between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. Now, I do not know what it really looked like. All we can do is just use our imagination. But it is mentioned that this cloud was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites. A strange and miraculous arrangement. And yet, that is just the way it really is. And so, if we are Israelites indeed, we too, we have a wonderful cloud over us. Now, the children of Israel, when they journeyed in the wilderness, journeyed for 40 years, they had a marvelous protection from the sun. As I understand it and can comprehend some of the arrangements, this cloud covered the camp of Israel, particularly over the tabernacle. You can well imagine in the desert, the hot sun, it would be very troublesome to the people. They couldn't endure it. And yet this cloud overshadowed them. during the day from the hot sun. And at night, it gave a light. And this was a marvelous thing, sort of a pillar of light that was over this tabernacle. The pillar or cloud was a means of protection, of enlightenment, and guidance. Whenever the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, wherever that cloud went, they would follow it and there set up camp for 40 years. What a comfort that was to them. Well, how much more to the Lord's people who have consecrated their all. All that in the Old Testament was a shadow of good things to come, which the Apostle Paul mentions in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, first verse. The law and its arrangements was a shadow of good things to come. But when we consider our Heavenly Father, the Lord of hosts, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we consider our Heavenly Father, we as poor human beings, we cannot penetrate who our Heavenly Father is. All we can do is to study his character of justice, of wisdom, of love and power. And we can appreciate his character by studying his word and to know his arrangements. For instance, the 90th Psalm, the first and second verse, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I'm reading this, but I can't understand it fully. My mind can't penetrate it. From the everlasting past to the everlasting future. Poor minds just fade and cannot comprehend it all. This is the Jehovah referred to in the Bible. Daniel mentioned something about our God when he says in Daniel the 4th chapter and 35th verse, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, and saith unto him, what doest thou? For instance, the prophet Isaiah, also describing our Heavenly Father with words that are difficult to comprehend. For instance, he mentions in the 40th chapter, the 12th verse, who hath measured the waters of the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehendeth the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scale, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor? Now the 17th verse, all nations behold before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. The other verse in connection with vanity, useless. All nations are considered as nothing. And truly that is true, because in Adam dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? What an almighty creator have we. And so by the study of his word, we're able little by little to consider his character. The psalmist says, the 76th psalm and 10th verse, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall he restrain. The wrath of man shall praise thee. You know, sometimes when we, when a builder is building a house, the workers do not see the house, but the builder does, in his mind's eye. And if he's not careful, the workers could spoil his work. And they have to tear it apart sometimes to do it over again. But think of our Heavenly Father, who permitted sin and death to come upon the human family. In other words, the human mind questions, what does this all mean? He cannot penetrate the reason for permission of sin and death. And terrible it is when we stop to think of the penalty of death. What a sadness upon the human family. And yet, the Creator has that arrangement that the wrath of man shall praise him. He is able, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Psalm 119, the 90th verse, 91st verse also. The faithful is unto all generation. Thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. That they continue this day according to thy ordinance, for all are thy servants. Think of that, that this earth abideth forever. Sometimes men express the thought maybe this earth will be burned up, as some interpret the scriptures. But we know that this earth will abide forever. And yet, all it is just a speck in the universe. Our earth is merely one planet of this galaxy called the Milky Way. And there are billions and billions of planets and stars in this galaxy. And yet we're told by the astronomers that this galaxy is merely one galaxy of galaxies. As a matter of fact, they're beginning to think now that the galaxies of galaxies of galaxies, which is beyond our comprehension. Now, the billions of stars in this Milky Way that we can see at certain times of the season, this is just one island universe. And what is this little planet Earth? A little speck. And what are the people on this Earth? Dust. And then when we consider, brethren, ourselves, weak as we are, and yet God has a special protection and care upon his people. And so we consider all these devices. For instance, Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Men have many plans and ideas, but the counsel of the Lord shall stand. They can never overturn the counsel of God. Now, as has been mentioned, it is possible for man to destroy himself on this planet Earth, and yet God will not allow it. Remember that scripture where it says, then he will turn to the people a pure language. There still be people on this earth. There are many devices and schemes in man's heart, but the counsel, the purpose and plans and desires of the Lord shall stand. Isn't that a mighty God? It gives us comfort and encouragement as we face the trials and difficulties that we have to encounter. Certainly we are living in perilous days. And if it wasn't for that shadow of the Almighty over us, where would we stand? For the whole world is against us. I like that which the Apostle Paul mentions. Let God be true, though it make every man a liar. Isn't that wonderful? To have that remarkable faith, though the whole world disbelieves and against God, let God be true. This is very pleasing to the Lord. And so we see that God's purposes will stand. His promises never fail. And all his purposes will stand. And theirs, that is the world, the ones that will fall. He will not permit none of the schemes of men, a man's brain to frustrate his own designs. And so we read in Psalm 32, 10, 11, this is our Almighty. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his hearts, of his heart to all generation. Despite this terrible scene of sin and death upon this planet Earth, God has a divine purpose, a plan for its recovery. And the plan and purpose are for those who are under the shadow of the Almighty. And then our God, this Most High, is wise. God cannot act out of harmony with his character of love, of holiness. Wisdom guides God in all of his operation. Wisdom and knowledge are two different perfections. The knowledge of God is his understanding of all things as they are. Without making any changes, he sees things just as they are. Remember James 1:17 said, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. With him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a wonderful God we have. Wisdom is the skillful managing all things to a certain end. The wisdom of God is so marvelous. Psalm 104:24, the Lord, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. But incidentally, that scripture is out there on that plaque. Oh, in wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. When I think of this scripture, I often think of the other planets in the universe. What are they created for? Are they just to fill a void? And yet here's a scripture that indicates to us that in wisdom thou hast made them all. Wisdom implies foreknowledge. Wisdom implies a purpose. That in the ages to come, we do not know exactly what that means, that he might show the exceeding riches of his loving kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That when the church, when the work of restitution is completed, it doesn't mean that everything will stop. It's merely, I often think of the millennial age, the 1,000 years of restitution, as merely incidental to the divine purpose and plan of the future. It's really a beginning that in Christ Jesus, the church is a special treasure unto the Lord. And through them, ages to come, they might fill the planets of the universe. This is just merely a suggestion. I do not know. But wisdom implies a plan and purpose for the future. It is beyond our comprehension, the mightiness of our God. For instance, when we stop to think of the creation of all these things, we think of what our Lord had said, Revelation, the 4th chapter, 11th verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created for God's pleasure. It pleased the Lord to create all of this. God to be alone, to be alone is not good. To be self-centered, as it were, is not satisfactory. Anyone who is self-centered is extremely selfish. But God is not like that. He loves to give. He has a purpose for the creation of all these things. And what a great love he has for mankind. And that text, my dear friends, is so beautiful. The older we get, God so loved the world, he gave. And then, in the creation of all of these things in the universe, we read Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I don't know what eternity means. It's beyond my comprehension. That inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Such a high and mighty creator in the universe, an intelligent creator. You think he wouldn't bother with us? And yet, from one extreme to another, as it mentions here, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Think of that. And this is where we can come in harmony with our God. God has been faithful. He doesn't make a promise and forget about it, does he? I remember as a boy, I promised my mother to do this and that, and when I've gotten older, I forgot all about it. But God doesn't do that. His promises of 2,000 years, 3,000, 4, 5, 6,000 years, he still remembers. God is faithful. He has made a glorious promise to the children of men. And God's attributes of wisdom, justice, love, and power is still true. Now, in our text, the secret place. What does it mean to dwell in that secret place? Does it mean, like years ago, they used to make a bomb shelter so you could hide yourself? Is that the secret place? No, no. Our brother mentioned this morning that wonderful secret place. That holy in the tabernacle, as you remember, the outside of the camp, and then the court, then the holy and the most holy. The secret place is the holy. Straight is the gate and narrow the way, and many, is that what the scripture said? And few there be that find it. It is no wonder. It is a little flock that can go into this secret place. There are many Christians that believe in God. They love the Lord. But they do not take that extra step of consecration, full consecration to do thy will. Our Lord Jesus was in the court before his baptism. He was always there, perfect. But he was willing, as it is written in the Psalm, the 40th Psalm, lo, it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. Our Lord Jesus delighted. He didn't do that just because Like one young fellow said, I'm doing this because duty requires it. But our Lord Jesus delighted to go into that secret place. And he did. How grand and how wonderful is our Lord. Now, for instance, Jesus himself said, no man, that is in John 6, chapter 44th verse, no man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father would love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is dwelling in that secret place. John 16:27. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Oh, let us enter into that secret place. And as Paul mentions Hebrew, where he says in Hebrews the 10th chapter, the 19th and 20th verse, having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, it's been an open way to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let us come boldly. Let us not be afraid to enter into that secret place. And so we see the wonderful arrangements that the Father had made for us. You know, coming to the Lord, there's a wonderful illustration of this when we consider from which we were taken, from the old Adamic stock, condemned to death. And now to take a person, and by God's Spirit, lift him up, day by day, up out of that and into Christ. This is a marvel, and only the Spirit of the Lord can do that. There is an illustration connected with this, and I think you can understand it. For instance, in England, the Queen requested a certain man who worked in the mines, way down deep in the earth, worked in the coal mines. And the message was sent to him, come to the palace, come at once, come as you are. You can just picture how the person would feel uncomfortable with all that dust on him, and all you could see is the whites of his eyes and his teeth. Come to the palace. To the palace. Come as you are. And you can picture how, as he started to come to the palace and coming up to the surface of the ground, how nervous he must have been. But he's coming. And as he walks towards the palace, he enters the door, the entrance of the palace. And when he comes in there, in the vestibule, he sees a large mural. And when he sees himself, he just falls down and recognizes how terrible he is. This is where repentance comes in. But the Queen comes and lifts him up. And that's the way it is with us. We were brought out of the Adamic stock, coming now to the Lord and to this most holy place, secret place. And it is a gradual process. It isn't all of a sudden. But day by day, the Lord instructs us with His Word. And we can find comfort, and the Lord lifts us up, and we begin to recognize the great love of God through Christ Jesus. And so, our Lord Jesus is that secret place. He is the one that opened up the new and living way to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so these members who are in that secret place have a divine protection and care. But as we dwell in this secret place, there are many rooms there, aren't they? In this building. There, one of the rooms that I think is very important, and Brother Harp has mentioned it, the giving up of your own will, and that takes humility. Can we dwell in that room of humility? Brother, I find that this is a very trying condition for the Lord's people today, especially brethren in prominent recognition amongst the brethren. The Lord has tested the brethren and will test the brethren is whether we're willing to dwell in that secret place and dwell in that room of humility, of submission to His will. It is always a tendency for the human element, for the human part, as we brother had mentioned, that the human, the flesh is with us. It is always a tendency to boast. One brother in Poland has concluded, as an illustration of this, that the next memorial the Lord is going to take him. Now, how does he know? I would consider that as not being humble enough, thinking that he's something special. And so this is what this dwelling in this secret place means. They dwell in this room of humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. It is only the humble can walk that narrow way to the end of the course. The tendency is to boast. And I know that Satan, and you know too, Satan is always tempting. You must be something. You know the truth. Keep boasting. Remember the temptation that our Lord had. Satan said, all these kingdoms will I give you if you bow down to me. The Lord knew that someday all these kingdoms will be His. As He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He knew that he would. But Satan wanted to tempt him. And so the test to dwell in this secret place is humility. Are we humble enough to dwell in that? Satan knows that we have escaped the world and escaped from under his domination. And he constantly tests the Lord's people. And so we see that to dwell in this secret place, we are to be humble. And if we're humble, then we're teachable. A proud person is not teachable, but a humble person is. And so in Proverbs, we have something to inform us about investigating these rooms. And when that wonderful Solomon brought out these truths, we marvel sometimes at the ability of the Old Testament writers to bring these points out. For instance, Proverbs, the second chapter, the third, fourth, and fifth verse. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so dwelling in this secret place, we are to investigate what is the Lord's will for us. And here in the Old Testament, we are to cry after knowledge, meaning a strong desire to know the Lord and His purposes. And lift us up thy voice for understanding. This is dwelling in the secret place. We are to also to meditate upon these things. You remember Paul mentioned, think on these things to the church in Philippi. Think, study, meditate upon them. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye be rooted and grounded in what? In love. Huh? Oh, a person could have a lot of head knowledge, but he may not have love. And the object of all the knowledge that we have is not to make us heady, but to develop in us the Christ-like character by dwelling in that secret place. We are to surrender our all to Him. Surrender everything to Him. Now, for instance, to illustrate, you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Rich, young ruler. We marvel that he came with all his possession. He was rich, he was young, and besides, he was ruler. But he noticed something about our Lord. And he wanted to, what should he do to gain eternal life? And of course, our Lord Jesus, he could penetrate the character of a person. He knew what was in man. He had a deep knowledge of human traits. And he could see that this young man, that he loved the Lord, but he asked, what should he do? And Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and being. The young ruler thought, well, he kept that. But Jesus said, go sell all that thou hast and come and follow me. Well, now, that was very difficult for him to do. So he turned around and walked away. Now the young ruler, the young rich ruler, thought he kept the law. But our Lord had showed that he failed on the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all his heart. He loved his riches. He couldn't give them up. And so the element of surrender, dwelling in this secret place, is very important. To give up our all. Oh, sometimes it takes a long time to give up certain things. You remember Saul and David. Saul was instructed to wait for Samuel to come. And he waited, and Samuel was late. And Saul, in his impatience, he offered up sacrifices, and he didn't slay all that he should have. He saved these specialty animals, and as well as the king or ruler. He didn't slay them. And so, you see, he didn't give up his all. He didn't surrender his all. And so this is the great lesson of surrendering our all. Another thing, dwelling in this secret place, is by faith. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And so faith is still required. Whom having not seen ye loved, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is still a matter of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God as we dwell in this secret place. And so, works is required, activity, a desire to serve the Lord is very important. obedience to all of God's arrangements. Jesus said in John the 15th, chapter 10th verse, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And have kept my Father's commandments, abide in, as I have kept my commandments, and abide in his love. It is true, only our Lord could keep the law. There's no one that could keep the law perfect, only our Lord Jesus. I know some friends that say that they're under the law. I was trying to look up some of the other translations in regard to that scripture. The law, that is the scripture that Paul mentions, that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. One translation has it, the law was a straight edge to show us the crooked places. Okay? A straight edge, you know, a stick that is straight. And if you put it up against the wall, it'll show the crooked places. And so that's just what it is. We are not under the law. We're under grace and mercy through Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus kept the law perfect. But because of our Lord's sacrifice, we are considered perfect in God's sight. And so we are to keep his commandments of faithfulness to his service. So we see that being in this secret place is a wonderful thing. It's a joy to dwell in that secret place. What is the result of that secret place? In the shadow, in Psalm 57:1. In the shadow of thy wing will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. These are the shadow of thy wing of our Lord Jesus. Think how the Lord had protected him, how our Heavenly Father had protected him and sustained him right to the last minute. And so we too, brethren, if we are faithful, dwelling in that secret place, we too can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To illustrate that, I often think of that Moses, the mother of Moses. Here's a faithful child. She knew that someday the Lord would use that child. And think of the shadow of protection in his life, so that Moses was able at the age of 40, well, at the age of 80, to be used of the Lord and to direct his people. He had divine providence to overrule. How much more we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. How the angel of the Lord protected Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Oh, the Father of our Lord Jesus, if we abide in this secret place, make it our home. Not a boarding house. You know what a boarding house is? A boarding house is just a place to sleep. Come and go. We're not to make it a boarding house. We are to make it a home, to abide there, to dwell there. And you know, when you make it your home, you feel relaxed. You feel comfortable. And so this is the thought, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're not to leave this home. And so let us dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Oh, when I think of our Lord Jesus, Paul mentions in Galatians, I do not know its location now, that in connection with our Lord Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our Lord Jesus, these are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is that secret place. So, dear friends, let us consider what the Apostle Paul mentions in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Living in these closing days of the gospel age, if we're dwelling in that secret place, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, Paul mentions something that we are to do. Something, some work, some activity to encourage us along the way. He said that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th to the 18th verse, this is Paul, says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Armor, you know what that is. It's an armor that protects you from the enemy. And that armor really is dwelling in this secret place. Investigating. A complete study of his word. A constant, as our brother mentioned, the waving of that sacrifice. That meat offering. Constant. Never take it off. Always waving it before the Lord. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood only, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If there ever was wickedness in high places, it certainly is today. And we need all the armor provided. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Stand therefore, that is, dwelling in that secret place. That's the standing. And stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the plate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This element of faith is required. "Wherefore, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto unto with all preservation and supplication for all saints." Let us now consider too Psalm 46, which is very appropriate for our day, more so than ever before. Psalm 46. Here the psalmist declares the wonderful message of encouragement. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, although we're living in the closing days of this world's history, the end of 6,000 years of sin and death. Marvelous days." I often think, as the poet Whittier said, we're dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age is telling, to be living is sublime. Hark the rumbling in the nation, iron crumbling with the clay. Hark what sounded, 'tis creation groaning for a better day. And so we're living here, and what refuge could we go? Only to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling in that secret place. I like that which your brother Russell used to quote. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his precious word. What more can he say than unto you he had said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." And so God is our refuge and strength in the very present help in trouble. "Therefore will not we fear, being afraid, though the earth be removed," though the earthly systems be removed. We know that the earth abideth forever, but it has reference to the earthly systems that have caused the great suffering upon the human family. Systems of selfishness and greed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, mountains, the human arrangements that seem to take control of the human family. And as we know, recently in Poland, the sea has erupted in one way, strikes against the mountains of human control. And we see that more and more. I wouldn't be surprised if not only in Poland, but in all other countries, the sea, the human masses will be erupting. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, but there is a river, the streams whereof thou make the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The secret place in which you and I can dwell. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The earthly systems, not the planet Earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. You know what terrible spears there are in this world. It is, as we mentioned before, it is possible to destroy the human family with the instruments of destruction that man has, and yet God will control it all. After that, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. These are wonderful messages of encouragement to us. And now we'll close, brethren, with the 13th chapter of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul gives us such wonderful encouragement when he said, now, the 13th chapter, the 20th verse, and so on. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. May that be your portion and my portion as we face the trials and difficulties of life ahead. May the Lord add his blessing.